Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Mark.
Boom.
Hi there. Welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time podcast, our weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC. Yeah, yeah. Weekly. Yeah.
It's now been 2 weeks.
Fat guys smashing bellies and super uninteresting dad life commentary, plus an attempt to understand the hottest soccer league not funded by foreign royalty, MLS. We are your hosts from Mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor. And he's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and in the stats booth at Lumen Field. He's sexy skanking Brandon.
You can't... Oh. I almost knocked down a fan. We're redoing
a baby.
No, thankfully, he has not been dropped yet, or knocked down. But he gets up again.
did you just make a Chumbawamba reference?
That's right.
Your baby is doomed now. Hey, do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts and give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars.
But primarily, just leave us a comment. We want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
If you thought we were doomed because of the Chumbawamba reference, oh, wait till I read this. Let us know your favorite ever Sounders FC player from Big Bad Nuhu Daddy to the Brian Schmetzer Orchestra.
That's your finest work. That's your finest work that you were able to do that. I don't... best dog mom ever, says Brandon's cup. I was late today because I had to make myself a cup of coffee, and I figured that because of all the big announcements, I would use my Sounders mug, which I almost got rid of because I'm frustrated by how many mugs we have, and I'm trying to just keep it to three, and there's three that I like more than this one. But I shouldn't have said that on this podcast.
The one thing with Sounders mugs, we'll talk a little bit about Sounders merchandising today.
Great.
But one of the things that I've always been disappointed by is the Sounders mug merchandising, like what mugs are available from the Sounders, because it's always like your plain white mug with the Sounders logo on it, or your mug that looks like it. You got it. No offense. It is your fourth favorite out of three mugs. no offense to you, but it looks like something you bought from like the fireworks store, or you know what I mean? Or it's in the clearance section at West Elm or something.
Yeah, I was at Cost Plus earlier, so I...
Sure, yeah. Actually, no, that's what it looks like. It kind of looks like it came from World Market, but it was in that weird kind of
soccer
like,
is the world
market.
Sport, okay? Yeah. So just... Back
anyway,
off.
I just always wish they had a better mug, but you know.
Hear me out. I think that whenever they made their deal with the Mitchell and Ness or whatever, like somebody got more of a clue how to make more hip, Sounders gear. Because before it always felt like how the Seahawks would approach merch. It was very like commercial.
Here's a T-shirt from Walmart with the Sounders crest on, or the Seahawks crest, or here's a polo that you'll never wear to work. However, all of the models here look like they're about to go do finance, and they're wearing a gingham shirt with the Sounders crest embroidered in the top left.
I don't think I can say this other word right here. The checked all the right boxes and got approved for a big boy mortgage. Sounders FC take on the fighting
Tegucigalpins.
Yeah, FC Montagua. Montagua?
Montagua? I guess we'll find out.
Hey, Spanish speakers, I am real sorry. That was not my intention. I want to start this show. We got a lot to talk about. I literally just came from the new home of Seattle Sounders FC. There was just a press conference. I traveled out to Renton, America, Washington, King County, and checked it out. And now the two of the biggest teams in the sporting world for Seattle are now both calling Renton home, which is interesting. But first, I want to give a shout out to Scuba Steve, one of our best fans, one of the guys who's been there, has come out to our stupid events and everything, and has always just been super funny and cool.
Stupid event.
Event. Okay, I'm trying to make us sound cooler. Come on.
Okay.
But he's also been out to our dumb podcast stuff and whatnot. So Scuba Steve, you're the best. Congratulations on the second baby born the day before Valentine's. First of all, congrats on the sex, boy.
Yeah.
Especially because you already have a baby and you were still able to get it in there. Whew, oh, nicely done, my man. Yeah. I mean, that ship has sailed now. That the sex thing is, you're done. But
over.
Yeah. But yeah. Congratulations, though, on that, buddy. And to baby Charlotte. Oh, my God. So awesome. And I, like, legitimately, I was, like, overjoyed to read that someone as cool as Steve and his baby mama had another baby.
We're having, I haven't had a baby. The great thing about Steve is that when I was, when my wife was pregnant with our child, the wife that I have access to was pregnant with the now child that I have access to.
That lives in your home.
That lives in my home. When Catherine was pregnant, she...
And the boob that he has access to?
The boobs that he has access to and the boobs that I no longer have access to. When she was pregnant, Steve, just a few months before Stone, my son, was born, Steve sent me a message on Instagram that was like, hey, man, here's all of the things that you actually need for the hospital. Because you read all of these, like, blogs and things that are like, you need to take this and aromatherapy and this and that for the bathtub, and like, we had a doula, which is a lady that like comes to the hospital and is supposed to help you through the birth process, help my wife through the birth process, that is, and
tell you where to stand. You stand over there, you got
you it stand, see that door out there, right out there. No, she was great, but like the least helpful thing was that like my wife was in so much pain and she's in the bath and she's like, well, here, I have some of these fake candles to help make this feel. I'm like, she's not at a freaking spa, Carol. Like,
yeah, right, it like doesn't,
it's, that's like, sorry, your flickering electronic candles are not going to help. But you know what did help? That extra long charging cord for my phone. So thank you to you. Thanks to Scuba Steve for that rec.
Yeah, top man, that Scuba Steve. And to I've met his better half, but I can't remember her name. And so congratulations to you too, mother of two. And, and
she's you met her once, arguably, and you've already reduced her to just being a mom.
Arguably mother of three with
Steve in the house.
Hey, the whole premise of this is that it's a birth. I'm sure she's an interesting person beyond that. And okay, whatever. I'll just go back to my dumb hole. And speaking of which, I climbed out of it today and drove down to the brand new facility for Seattle Sounders FC. I did not know what to expect because they were like, here is an address that you should go to and rent in. And I was like, all right, is it going to be like in a parking lot? And they're going to be like, this is where we're going to build a thing or whatever. No, it's in a big ass office building. Like, probably 5 stories tall, gigantic, windows everywhere, and it's like there's a big parking lot. Some of the spaces are covered. We know who those are for. There's like it's a whole affair, right? And so I pull up and walk in. They check my vaccine card and everything. I walk around the thing. Wait a second. Soundwave was there, not the Transformer, the band. They didn't perform at any point, to my knowledge.
What?
Wait.
Maybe you missed it? Did you miss it?
Yeah, I had to leave like after it was... After they did the groundbreaking, I left, but maybe they performed after that. I don't, whatever. First of all, it was really cool to be around all the Sounders press and everything again. And I try not to talk to anyone because I was literally nervous to be there and had too much coffee, as if I don't have a place being there because all we do is make fart jokes on this stupid show. Like, I saved a whale story for you and like. Yeah, but they're real nice, and so this facility is massive. They're renting 50,000 square feet of office space, evidently, and they're going to build 4 or 5 soccer pitches for the training facility there. And I feel real bad for Starfire because one of their biggest clients is going to move out. And I wanted to ask the question to Adrian and everybody, like, do you feel any kind of guilt? Is there any, I know it's just business, but like, is there any kind of responsibility to this like community staple that you feel like you're not going to support anymore? But I felt like that would probably be like, I don't want to rain on their parade at the thing. That's a question for offline maybe, but.
Well, and maybe, I mean, they mentioned the fact that there might be, so first of all, you know, the announcement is the Sounders are moving their training facilities down here. They rented all of that office space. Inside that building, I'm imagining they're also going to put gyms and as one person on Twitter said, we better have an entire floor dedicated to hamstring care. At its Dr. M.
The building has a hamstring injury.
No, it's built on a Let's see. It's at the former Longacre site, which was a former horse racetrack in Seattle. And so maybe there's some like undead or some like unsatisfied horse spirits with pulled hamstrings that had to be shot and turned into glue. And so now they're doomed.
They're like three-legged horses that come back from the dead as skeletons. And you're like, what's that other leg? Hamstring injury.
Yeah, great. Glue.
Glue it back together.
We have the resources.
Garth Lagerway addressed this, though. He said that they're going to have world-class facilities for medical on-site. Also, he was real specific about how the nutrition was such a big deal for it. And when Sounder started at VMAC, that was one of the things that like there was a real good opportunity for food science there. And he wants to bring that back specifically with the more focus into analytics that you could possibly take a Chad Barrett, for instance, who has the worst cramps that Nike has ever seen, and be able to give him a diet before rehearsal, is what they would call it in the dance world, before practice, that is high in whatever electrolytes and salts
pickle
that he needs.
Juice.
Yeah, pickle juice. Yeah. To have like, maybe there's five different ways he could have pickle juice rather than just drinking it from the jar.
Yeah, that I remember. So when I used to work for the Sounders, I would be down at training all the time, and I would be down there with the players, and then afterward we would pop upstairs and get lunch. You'd eat in the cafe with the rest of the players and all that. And I remember the food was kind of just like what you'd get at like a school, almost like a school lunch. So you have Clint Dempsey, who's played in the Premier League. You have a lot of players who have played, you know, in La Liga and Premier League for some top clubs, right? Even Victor Rodriguez had been within the Barcelona system for a while, right? So he's played at even the youth system in Barcelona, La Masia, right, is known as one of the top youth facilities in the entire world. And then they come to Starfire and they're eating like that pizza that bounces off the floor, or the chicken tendies, right?
Which you want some chocolate milk with that or what?
Great, but I don't know what kind of analytics Garth is getting out of the chicken tendies when he's trying to see Chad Barrett, you know, suck down. Actually, you know, I would love to see Chad Marshall and Chad Barrett go to town on some wings together and see
pickle eating contest.
instead of hot ones, it's Chad ones.
Hot pickles. There we go.
Hot pickles. There we go. Anyway, so like now the Sounders are going to have this world class facility. You like all
get Zakawani in there because he did that show Winging It for a while.
Yeah. Yes.
Change that. There you go.
Now Winging It with Zakawani is just people eating chicken wings with Zakawani.
It's a fat time.
Yeah. that should be, man, why are we not working in this 50,000 square foot office space? It looks amazing though. I mean, like the whole place, you were there. I mean, I was surprised that what Adrian and the panel had said is that this place is going to be ready to open by the Sounders 50th season, which is in 2024. So when I read that, or when I first heard that, I was thinking, okay, so it's kind of going to be just the guts of the place, right? Like they haven't done the build out yet. They don't have the offices. But then all of the videos and all of the pictures that I'm seeing you and other media members post, you and other media members.
Thanks, buddy.
See, look, I counted you in there. All these pictures that I'm seeing, like it looks like they've got the place already pretty well set up to be, at least from what I've seen, a Sounders branded facility. I mean, you've got the trophy cabinet on the front desk. You've got a wall of scarves that look like it's very well put together. You've got season ticket member names around the pillars and the front entrance to the place. Like, were there other elements about the place that made it seem like it was already kind of a Sounders facility? Or was that just kind of for the grand entrance into the press hall? Were there other things that you could see that there are? Because one of the shocking things that I learned from the press conference is that, you know, these conversations about having this place, about getting into this place, only started 6 months ago. Yeah. And you're already here having a press conference announcing it. It's not going to be ready till 2024, but it looks like they're making progress.
Yeah. So they specifically addressed that. They said it was a 120-day process from the first conversation to getting the lease done and having everyone there today. When you walk in the place, the first thing you see, it's like walking into any big facility that's not like downtown, but any like big joint. Like you walk in, there's like the trophy case in front of you, and to the right, there's the desk with a security person there waiting to welcome you in. That's pretty cool. And then beyond that, there's just like a big atrium. And so it's like, you know, when you're at a hotel and the hallways are inside and they go up like 5 or 6 stories. And so you kind of look up and you feel like you're on a you're looking up the side of a cruise ship or something like that.
Yeah.
It has that feel to it. But in that space, they had set up a giant television. Hanauer joked that they don't get to keep it. And he's like, maybe we'll buy one. I don't know. But it feels like the Sounder's office wasn't open to everybody previously when it was downtown. And so it was like they were on an island a bit. And it felt like you were really secluded and there wasn't a way that... Maybe if you go to Starfire, you run into some organizational people. But this feels like it's a big, massive building. And it makes it feel like a really big organization. Rather than being kind of like some knuckleheads that we know that work there that are making this thing happen. It feels like, Hanauer said it was a... tens of millions of dollars investment to make this happen. So like they're committing to, as they put it, to the next 50 years. And jokes aside about them celebrating their 50 years on year 48, just like they celebrate 10 years of 11 times of the playoffs or whatever. They're setting the goal right now. They're saying that starting today, they're going to make the ramp up to that 50 years of Seattle Sounders. 1974, born in 1974, Sounders, by 2024, that's 50 years. And so they're starting the ramp up to it now. I had a chance to talk to my buddy Taylor Graham about that a little bit. I won't tell you what he said or whatever because that's not nice. But he called you very bad names, Brandon. No. He just talked about what that's going to look like, and pretty cool that they're already that far out ahead. And the facility has a feel to it like it's for real. Just it's like... Yeah. Rather than being like, we went through this era where everything had, you had to see the pipes in the roof and you had to, there was just like... This really
industrial, exposed, everything had to be like
authentic, real. Yeah, it like makes it feel like you're really in the bowels of something. This does not feel like that at all. It feels like a culture change in terms of just design. But it's like it's kind of 80s. It's like massive and big and like you know what's the Columbia Tower? However, that's described.
Oh, it's like brutal. Yeah, like it's austere. Like,
it feels like something Boeing would build because they make big ass planes, and that's exactly
and they did build it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. And so it gives. It gives Seattle Sounders this massive feel to it. And frankly, it felt like it legitimized MLS. Mm. It's like a good thing for the entire league, not just that other teams will have to raise their game, but because it's like, this is a big thing happening. And other people like the MLS, as they kept calling it, the MLS, which I like laughed at. But MLS is like a for real league now. It's not just a joke like it was when Seattle joined and upped the game for everybody. And now they're doing it again.
It's crazy because, for once, the Sounders are not the team that is being the groundbreaking team in this arena, right? I mean, they're literally doing a groundbreaking, right? Like, they're building a train.
Dig dirt out of a box.
The dirt. I like how all of the media, like, this is an aside, but all of the media, while they're doing that groundbreaking, you know, typically it's everybody puts the shovel in, you get that picture, then everybody scoops it, and they get that picture, and you get this picture of them all kind of scooping the dirt out. This one, I watched the video of it, they were like, all the media were like, just keep going, dig. Like, Garth Lagerwey working up a sweat there, just like, oh my god, like, what am I digging for? Oh, I found glue.
Oh, Gluey. Is that their next mascot? Gluey the horse, Gluey. The dead horse, the horse skeleton.
Oh, great. That would be kind of sweet. Anyway, you've got teams in Atlanta and even
New
York.
It's got a big bullet hole in its head.
Oh, my God. Shoot them all. Put them up against the wall
and shoot them.
Anyway, you've got teams in Atlanta, New York, you've got Miami, even Austin, these newer teams in the league that have come in and built large, impressive, world-class training facilities. Teams like Kansas City have even done that. The Sounders, while late to the game, are coming in with a freaking bang by building this massive, insanely large, world-class stadium. They talked about the fact that they took the World Cup Stadium Selection Committee on a stealth tour of the facility, which I thought was amazing. Maybe because it is an old Boeing facility, they have some like military grade like stealth B-52s or something like that.
Yeah, they didn't talk about how they took them over in like a black helicopter that was like undetectable by radar.
Yeah. Anyway, it all seems like a massive, you're right, like legitimized step up in the game. Like when I worked at the Sounders, our office, to your point, was like exposed bricks and pipes in the ceiling. And you know, like it was cool. I loved working there.
Personally, the facility was great.
I loved to be able to take people in and show them where I worked. It felt like a startup. It felt like that. This does not feel, from what you're saying, sounds like it does not feel like a startup anymore. It feels like, hey, we are the MLS. We are the MLS. We are here. We are one of the biggest teams in not only this region, but in North America, in the Western Hemisphere. You can tell by the facilities that we train in, by the facilities that we play in at Lumen Field, despite what everybody wants to say about it not being soccer specific and whatever, how many other stadiums are filling up 40 grand plus on
Lagerwey said
basis.
That he was like less than 40 teams around the world get more attendance than we do, so it's like we know what's up.
I mean, this facility puts the Sounders, as far as training facilities go, across the world, it's going to put Sounders in that upper echelon. If you're coming from Manchester United or from one of the top teams in Europe and you get brought over to, you know, the Sounders FC Center at Long Acres, which is what they're calling it, to see the operations, You're gonna be impressed by that. I don't think any player in the
world
is...
Hopefully they don't screw it up between now and 2024 when they launch it. Yeah. So for anyone that didn't watch
What's with the horse skeleton outside?
Oh, no, it's alive.
Oh, yeah.
That's Gluey. No
it's
big deal.
Sammy the Sounder and Gluey the horse skeleton fighting out in the parking lot.
maybe if he was a seahorse, that would work. Can we...
Yeah, I like the seahorse skeleton. Gluey the seahorse skeleton.
Okay, so one of the coolest things about the facility is, much like the Seattle Kraken, which you haven't had a chance yet to see the facility the way it can be, the practice pitch for the first team is going to have a deck that looks out where fans can over-obsess and be able to watch the squad practice while the squad has safety and distance. You'll be right above the action. Underneath there will be an actual lounge for the players to be able to sit and enjoy themselves. So some separation from the fans. They acknowledge how important it is that people can be out there to annoy the players before they go out to practice and afterwards and stuff. And they also acknowledge how sometimes, like when they're trying to catch a flight and the fans have a little too much access, and it slows things down, which is funny. Yeah. But ultimately, they've kept that in mind and have other fields that are set aside for the other either divisions or whether you're having Tacoma Defiance practice there. And will they still be called Tacoma? That's a big question.
Yeah. Even the Defiance was a name that was named after where they were playing in Tacoma, right?
Yeah, well, it'll be called like the... used to be built by Boeing here, like
the Tacoma Rentons. the Tacoma Glue Factory.
Okay. Perfect.
the artist formerly known as Tacoma Glue Factory.
there you go. So, the layout and the access and stuff. Also, like if you're a player that's traveling in, it resembles like, I don't know, it's like well thought out. It's excellent pitch management and maintenance, a couple artificial, couple live turfs, so that way you can practice for what you need as well, to be specific. I think that there's a lot of opportunity for the entire club to grow at all levels through this, and it's pretty rad. Like I frankly, right now it's just a building and then a bunch of like marshland and stuff that they're going to have to like fill in and make it work out or whatever, but when they do, it's going to be it'll be a spectacle to be able to go in and take that in and watch it.
Now, one of the things I thought was interesting that they said is that this is built 2 minutes away from a train station, where the Sounder, the train, visits, and that will take you up to King Street Station, which is obviously just a few blocks away from Lumen Field, or it's right there, right? It's just across the parking lot, really, from Lumen Field. Does the Sounder, I know this, like from, you know, they talk about how that's a, Dow Constantine, the King County executive was there, was talking about, oh yeah, well the Sounder, you know, blah, 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 it's a great train, it's a great, great option. But does the Sounder, like, if I remember correctly, doesn't really run that much on weekends, if at all.
It does for matches. That's the one thing
that
they
do. Okay, it does for matches. Okay,
but
great.
But the problem is that it gets you there before the match starts, and it takes you away when the match is over. There's no being a fan. There's no experience.
It's not like they're running a bunch of... They're not running a ton of
trains. You can't get down there 2 hours early, have a couple beers with your friends, or, like, celebrate a victory because the train leaves. But it would be pretty cool to see, like, if they could arrange it, to see the team off. Like if everyone meets at the practice facility for their meal and then they drive them off on the bus to the game or whatever. That's not how it works, I realize, but
Right, yeah.
There could be a fan experience that is there. And so, it looks Man, I was...
I mean, it's a two minute walk from the train, and it's a 12-minute train ride up to King Street. That's the only thing I wanted to say, is that, like, that is a short commute if you're, you know... I mean, maybe not Stephen Fry, because he lives out in the islands these days, but if you are, who knows, Rusnak, who's probably living in Sammamish or wherever. Yeah. I mean, I think Clint Dempsey was living in, like, Sammamish.
Yeah.
Drive over to the, you're riding up to the game, go grab a couple of beers, and he's like, oh, hey, Clint, he's like reading his paper. He's like, don't talk to me.
Where's my rubber pizza? I like that stuff.
What's in the briefcase, Clint? Fish and bowls.
It's just a fish. It just has like an actual fish in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Don't worry.
So it's going to be cool, man. Like it was, the problem that I'm having is that I can't tell if I was just pumped to be around other people or pumped for the season or pumped for the facility. And I think it could be all of those things together.
So. I've watched the video. We posted it on our Twitter account. You can go see it at Full 90 Podcast. We watched the video of the architectural rendering of what the whole facility is going to look like, what the stadium is going to look like, what those fan deck and the player lounge and what all of that's going to look like. Gosh, the locker room looks amazing. It's better than the one in the stadium that they have. I've watched that video so many times, so I know for a fact that I am excited about this facility. Built at Long Acres. My dad used to work at Long Acres. He was a bar back there. Making sure that they were supplied with all of their liquor and alcohol.
That's
so
awesome.
I don't know, fun connection there, but I'm just excited for the facility. I'm also, I mean, one of the things we haven't talked about that's pretty huge, we talk about leading up to that 50th anniversary, the Sounders kind of slipped in there that there's a potential rebrand coming. Like, yeah. What did you hear?
Okay, so somebody asked about
while
that.
You were there, yeah.
Yeah, somebody, and it was weird because it kind of just like nobody really reacted to it.
Right,
and so
yeah.
It was, they asked like, well, you know, you're talking about the next 50 years. What does that look like in terms of branding, ideology? And Adrian Hanauer is like, we're open to changing anything. If the fans want it, all we care about is what you guys want. He's like, it's not about my decision. It's not about other people. It's purely about how we want to go as a collective, which I think is potentially dangerous. Always. I will always, as a person that works at a big media thing, I will always be like, be careful of what the people want, because you can get steered wrong real quickly.
You get a team called the Kraken playing hockey. But, That's just my opinion. I don't know.
But at the same time, Kraken luckily has grown on me. At first, opportunity missed to link up with Disney and be called the Wampas. But anyway. and then it's inclusive because that Wampa only has one arm, and it's like
just like my dog.
So, but it's he kind of touched on the fact that he was open to it, and the feeling in the room when he was saying that was that we're gonna get a rebranding and a new crest, and that they're gonna design something that is. I feel like there's gonna be new logoing because the opportunity is there to be able to do different versions of things, so you can better market in different arenas. And it was clear that he had been thinking about that, but that he hadn't really flushed it out, it felt like. And so that was a cool question, a cool, honest answer that he gave about the opportunity.
It was interesting. I was following on Twitter primarily, and he did say one thing along the lines that I thought was interesting to come from ownership.
Was it good question, Gregor?
That's definitely what it was.
That's what it was? Okay, good.
Yeah. No, he said something along the lines of, you know, in 2009, we didn't really do the fan engagement portion or like the historical incorporation into this crest well. We didn't do it well. He said that when about the Sounders crest that exists right now, right? It's a the Sounders have been called the Sounders, but they almost weren't. The fans had to kind of uprise in order to say, hey, you're not going to call us Seattle FC. We are the Sounders. You're going to work that in there somehow or
we are going to ride that f-ing train to the game, the Sounder train.
Yeah. Well, okay, fine. We'll run it a couple times a day on Saturdays. And so I thought that was really interesting to hear an acknowledgement that, like, a lot of people have said, you know, the Space Needle has a lot of flaws because it's trademarked and not flaws because it's phallic, but flaws because the Space Needle silhouette itself is trademarked. So in order to create a bunch of merchandise around something like that, you run awry of a lot of issues and money problems with someone like the Space Needle, who's very protective over that intellectual property.
Hear me out. What if we replaced the Space Needle with one of your favorite things? The blue whale penis.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
If nothing else, I know we don't really get blue whales here. Maybe an orca.
Yeah, yeah, actually, that's a good, you know, we do know how we do know, first of all, that the blue whale has the largest penis in the animal kingdom. We don't know how it compares to an orca dick, so we'll have to look that up. But I don't know, the feeling on Twitter,
orca
you're right.
FC like, welcomes.
Gluey.
My hammy.
My hammy? Chris Henderson does work down there. The feeling that you got in
insert
in there
my dad
is
saying
that,
eggs over my hammy.
Oh my god! The feeling that you got in the presser was that everybody there was like, we're getting a new brand. The feeling on Twitter was definitely, oh man, we're gonna get a new brand. And you would think that like a brand as established and as I mean, you would 12 years is still historic, right, for these Seattle Sounders, or 13 years. In MLS is still, I mean, it's a successful franchise, a successful club. We've won trophies under this moniker, under this crest with the Space Needle, with the green, the rave green and the blue. However, the feeling on Twitter wasn't, oh no, we have to keep this thing that's a piece of our identity and pride. I don't think that anybody's ever felt that connected to this crest, myself included. I love the Sounders, but, you know, the feeling on Twitter was like, yeah, let's get an orca up in this. Like
I think it was you that said that, though, right?
No, I was not the only one.
Was it the Full 90 podcast Twitter? Is that who said it, I think?
I'm just willing it. I'm speaking into it. I'm saying everybody's talking about the orca. Everybody says there needs to be an orca.
So, says man excited about orca.
So, I'm not excited about them as much as I am about a blue whale dick.
You're all about excited orca dicks. That's what it was.
Yes, okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Now, to disagree with you, I love that crest. I will always absolutely dig it. It's but it means something different to me as a person who was. Now, first of all, it does lock itself into a graphic design timeline. There is like
2009.
Yeah, right? It's like a very specific timeline, and I get it. And like I'll never forget, like because I'm this old, that when the New England Patriots rebranded from that stupid looking guy snapping the football that was a red coat. No, the opposite. That it was like, could not have been a better upgrade. Now that logo looks dated too now because it was in the mid 2000s or whatever. But it's sure. Like the idea that sometimes you got to step into the next era is important. I think the Sounders have handled all of this stuff so well. Their constant changing of marketing and branding that when they do decide to do something different, they'll stay the Sounders, I'm sure, because mm-hmm. you can't lose that part. But they'll figure out a way to evolve the crest into something else without me being mad about it and without the general public being too upset. Sure. I moved here the first season that the Sounders started. It was my team. You can't tell me how long you've suffered as a freaking Mariners fan. And I really don't have anything to say back to that other than sure. I love Ichiro. But the notion that like MLS Sounders started 3 weeks before I moved to Seattle is like, it'll always be mine. And I'll always think about that. The logo I had on my car and the people driving up to Vancouver and a guy pulling up next to me and doing the wanker sign and then doing the Vancouver Whitecaps thing out the window and then laughing and driving off and like just having like those moments are like so critical. And so I have a different perspective of it. And I imagine somebody who was like 10 when I'm comparing myself to a 10-year-old was 10 when the Sounders started or probably also has some sort of like lingering feelings for that.
So like Jordan Morris. I get that. And to your point, like there is going to be something like I save every single piece of Sounders merch and memorabilia that I get these days, because someday I know that this crest is going to change as every crest does. Every league, every team in the Premier League, even like at this point has had however many crests at this point, right?
Yeah, take my favorite team that I don't know why I support them because they're frustrating, but Arsenal, like they have had a much older looking logo before and they updated it to be something much simpler and it works. And at some point that'll change again too. Spurs and Liverpool and all these people do that in order to make the logoing and branding work better, and then it changes, but it stays true to the identity.
Sure, and I just don't know. I think that the Sounders with their current crests have locked themselves into that era so much to a point that anything that they do at this point, thankfully, it's not just, in my opinion, I don't think that they'll just pull something out of thin air. I think that they have enough of a history. We're talking about going on 50 years as a club. The Sounders have enough history and enough inspiration that they can draw from 1974, the amount, like the three or four crests that they've had between 74 and now. They'll be able to draw from the orcas that were in all of those things.
Just a big whale butthole. That's what the new logo is.
And then we can superimpose it over Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. No, I think that the Sounders have...
It's a cloaca. Thank you very much. It is both for poo and pee. Okay.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Just like the wizard bird.
I don't know that about whales. We need to actually confirm that. They might actually have their own bee holes.
I think they do
have their own bee holes. And I'm not talking about blowhole.
They have, you know what I learned about whales recently is that almost all baleen whales, I think all, maybe even all baleen whales, mm-hmm. have two blowholes. Mm-hmm. Well, interesting, right?
Yeah, well, like nostrils.
Yeah, just like nostrils. So I didn't even think about that. That's a very interesting, you ever think that they, like, one of them's like, can I get a nose job? And everybody's like, where's a whale's nose? And he's like, it's right here. You see the two holes right here on the back.
Who's that guy trying to hump it? That's a humpback.
That's a humpback. Yeah. Anyway, I think that I would love to see a Sounders redesign. But the reason I hold on to my Sounders Xbox jacket that I have because someday, like, I love seeing in the crowd at, like, Premier League games, players or fans or supporters wearing their jackets and their jerseys from 20, 30 years ago with a different sponsor, because it's just indicative of a different time of different players that supported the club that were playing for the club at that time, of like being in the stands, wearing that jersey, watching Clint Dempsey do his thing for the Sounders, right? Or being in the stands, watching even Casey Keller, or now some fans can even stand in those stands at the Sounders and wear these jerseys that are like, that's indicative of a time that Brian Schmetzer was playing for this club on the field, right? So I don't know. I love the idea of them being able to harken back to those older, my wife, for one, would love if the Sounders would just update their colors, that she does not love the rave green.
Yeah, I think a lot of many people do not like the rave green because it is a hard color to wear.
It is hard. And just like an orca.
Excited.
Yeah, excited. I think that, I'm excited to see what they come up with. To your point, they're not going to do anything they say that the fans, that's done without fan support, fan input. Yeah. They're going to take that a lot more serious this time than they did the first time around designing the current crest, which is like two shields, three shields, a space needle, a bunch of different colors. All it's lots of words.
Can I just say that it is so wild that when I see Casey Keller, he like recognizes and acknowledges me. It's like such a weird world to live in where I'm like, hey, Casey. And he's like, oh, hey, what's up, Gregor? I'm like,
that is awesome. Can I, I think you had an opportunity today as a member of the media at this press conference that somebody on Twitter brought up that you had an opportunity to grow our brand.
Hold on. What you're saying is I asked a question at the thing, and I asked a good question. And thank you. It was a great question. Thank you for encouraging me. And obviously Adrian Hanauer told me what a great question it was because I'm a very good question asker, right?
Can I just say that I
was terrified. By the way,
I love that he was like, that's a good question, not Greg, because that's your name and he's a serious adult person and you're a member of the media. He says, that's a great question, Gregor. So I love that.
I mean, I know the time he called me on the phone and he like addressed me as Gregor. It was crazy. I saw a number from like the Seattle Sounders came up on my call. I was like, hello. Yeah. He's like, Gregor, Adrian Hanauer. And I was like,
okay.
Hey, guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was asking a question. What's going to happen to the 90 now that you're moving all your offices away and they're no longer upstairs, which is something that people maybe didn't know. It's going to happen with the 90. But they said, hey, when you get the microphone, introduce yourself. And so everyone knows where you're asking from on the stage, right? And so I get the microphone handed to me by Katie Pendleton, who's the best.
Yeah.
And I get the microphone and I'm like, hey, Gregor from 107.7 The End. And I go to ask my question badly, and I'm scared by my own voice over the PA, and it's terrifying, and I sound awful, right? Freaking out, blood pressure's going, that noise in your ears when you get super panicked about something. I ask my question, what's going to happen with the 90? Well, somebody on Twitter pointed out how I made a huge error.
Yeah, they said you had the opportunity to say, hey, I'm Gregor,
they said, can't believe Hey Gregor didn't announce himself as Full 90 Podcast when he asked his question.
Who?
Well, one of those things, it would have been, well, I mean, there's other people that are like, hey, I'm from Cascadia Radio Now.
Yeah.
Internet stream. And like, hey, I got no beef with them. I just don't. But like, if I would have said Full 90 Soccer Time Podcast, it would have been amazing. And then
Adrian Hanauer had gone, hot.
Hot.
Zakawadi pops out and he's like,
garbage.
Didn't see him there today. That was weird.
Was James Woller there? Hot rubbish.
Anyway.
That's my best James impersonation. But.
Here, this one's for Brandon. Are you ready? When we come back, we'll quickly discuss the new jerseys on the Full 90 Soccer Time podcast.
Discuss New Jersey.
Okay, Brandon, I only have a minute and I got to go, but we spent 2 weeks predicting what the new jersey was going to look like for Seattle Sounders FC. They gave us exactly what we anticipated, which was blue checkerboard over green shirt. But I think your take was absolutely the best, that you were like, they're going to do this because it's a flashback to the 2019 MLS Cup final where the stands were a checkerboard pattern of rave green and blue. And sure enough, they did that. They incorporated it like a flag into the back there on the little tag on the neck. Massive props for finding the thread that would get them to make a checkerboard jersey like that. I think it was spot on.
When I was seeing mock-ups, not the mock-ups that we made, but when I was seeing the mock-ups from other designers and people, I was like, none of these are really doing it for me. I don't love them. But then I saw I saw them release the actual kit. And when you see it on the players, I love it. I'm honestly super into it. I'd love to see more blue incorporated into the kits. I would love to see a primary blue kit like that, but or at least have their secondary kit or a third kit be the Sounders blue. Yeah. But honestly, I love the way that it looks. But some people are saying tire treads. I don't see that. I mean, these people maybe have never seen tires before. But that's, I don't know. I love the way it looks. Now, you told me that you bought one.
Yeah.
You said it doesn't look as good in person. I literally said it didn't look good in mock-ups. I think it looks great on the players. Does it just look good on players and not on like a regular person?
Well, no, because I mean, they showed people wearing them in the studios at the television place and everything. Don't worry, I'm not upset at all that they didn't give me one. But there's a weird thing about it when I was in person, and it's called money. and I was handing over money for this thing. And I was like, do I really need a shirt with some checkerboard on it?
Yeah.
I think it is weird that it pulls down towards the wiener zone.
The checkers do.
So it kind of looks like the shirt has been zipped. And I think that's kind of weird. But overall, I'm 100% hot on that. I think it's really cool. Yeah. Okay, well, I have to run, unfortunately. So I would just I'd just like to say, in case this podcast was too long and you didn't listen, it's too long. Didn't listen. Brandon, what's your new favorite show involving Sounders and food?
My too long didn't listen. It's Chicken Winging It with Zakawani. too long didn't listen. Greg, sorry. That's a great question, Gregor. Too long didn't listen. What should our new mascot be?
Forget the orca, or maybe not. We've got a three-legged horse skeleton called Gluey. Optional seahorse.
Not optional.
Required.